And two Beaufort National editors, Victoria Fenner and Conrad Fox. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. Thanks for keeping us company this week, and until the next, ciao.
Ontario, and you're tuned into Viewpoints. Follow us on X at Frequency News. Listen to all our stories on frequencynews.ca.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm your host, Marianne Rose. You are about to embark on a relevant and timely journey of thought with registered psychologist Dr. Cyrus Dirksen. Thank you for tuning in and expect to be enlightened right now.
Hey, Marianne.
Great to see you today.
Great to see you, too.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful. That's one of the first things every time.
It's great to start. It's great to start with gratefulness.
Yeah. My gratitude for this time together is oh so nice. Like, I feel so good. I enjoy this so much. What a privilege I feel often about getting to speak with you, getting to hear your heart and your mind and your experience. And just even being able to share from my heart to what I think is helpful. I love to help people. Mm. Oh, this one song by this beautiful singer, her name is Sia. She's got this line. She says, "World, I want to leave you better. I want my life to matter." She starts with, "I want to leave you better." And I just feel like that's what we do here week after week is try to leave the world better.
Yeah. Yeah, such a good place to start, right? Where it's like, how do we just do those basic things, like improve things?
Good conversations. So thankful for bridging the gap.
Yes.
When we are able to do that for people to get through to the other side. There's often the breakthrough in these conversations that helps people to, okay, I was thinking this way, now I will be able to get through this difficult thing.
Yep.
And I feel like one of the areas we just came through for Canadians, it's almost a month ago already, we had Thanksgiving, Americans just celebrated it, and we are going to keep that theme with our show today on gratitude. I wanted to title the show, "A Smile Costs Nothing."
Wonderful title.
Yeah, a thing you give. A smile. Because Thanksgiving is that. It's just like, what are you giving that costs nothing is often what that's about. An attitude of gratitude, being thankful.
Yeah. It's amazing how life is kind of these small moments adding up over time. You know, difficult moments like disappointment or rejection or sadness, but also these positive moments, these little kind of turnings of joy and smiles and forgiveness and hope and love. These things just all of a sudden accumulate into kind of an experience of your life or a mood or in retrospect how you lived. But it's these building blocks that often shape our perspective on life. So it adds up into something bigger.
A smile is a block that builds healthy community.
Yes.
As simple and as small as it is.
Yeah, how your eyes light up and how people respond changes. Like when children look at you and they're like, do your eyes light up when you see them? Are you filled with joy or do they feel rejected and disconnected? It shapes people and how they feel about themselves.
I remember hearing advice on when your children walk in the room, look up from your paper, look up from your phone, and give them a response, a smile, a twinkle in the eye, just that they walked in the room.
Yeah.
And it takes you doing that on purpose. It's a deliberate act.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you feel forced about it? Does it feel sincere? Do you feel like smiling? Maybe you're in a mood. Maybe you're reading a really trashy commentary on some kind of political blah, and it's making you feel disgust, and you look up and you've got this, now you got to unwarp your face. You got to change the look so that you can smile at your child.
Yes. Yeah, and it's funny because it's like, I think people can connect with that, where it's like, oh, I want to smile so my child feels, you know, connected and joyous and filled with a feeling of being loved. Then why can't we, or maybe we do, translate that to our friends and our spouse and people that we meet? Like, why can't we translate that and see it as just as important, just as powerful? Because it is. It makes a huge difference.
It's subtle.
Mm.
It's something that is a choice literally constantly because you can choose to be agitated, to hold a grudge, to even feel something happened against you, and you have a response to that.
Right. Yeah, and it's critical, right? It changes so much. And I feel like oftentimes when we are thinking about making a change in our lives or making a change in our relationship, it's these small things that you can make a decision about that are so powerful. You know, sometimes people will come in, maybe for relationship counseling or something like that, and they'll be like, how could anything change in this relationship? Or we'll make a suggestion. This is, it's like, oh, maybe we could do this. And they're like, well, how could that make a difference? You don't understand how big the gulf is between us, Cyrus, how much of a Grand Canyon this is in our relationship. That small change won't have an impact on the Grand Canyon. It's like taking a spoon and trying to fill in the Grand Canyon. And it's amazing because oftentimes that canyon was built with a spoon. It was these small things that kind of pulled you apart, and it can be small things that put you back together. And it's amazing, the decision to be grateful for somebody. Honestly, the decision to be grateful for somebody is probably the most powerful, obvious, overlooked intervention you can do in a relationship. I mean, when people are arguing in a session, I almost find that there's nothing you can do once they've gotten into a bad state to actually get them to stabilize again, to get them to regulate again, except there's a chance with gratitude. It's the only thing that I've seen that's actually, when I tell them, you know, just a very almost parental thing to say, like, say two things that are, you're grateful for about each other. And they'll often come back when nothing else could work. That's how powerful gratitude can be. It kind of works when almost nothing else does. I've been shocked and surprised at how that simple thing can make such a huge difference.
Well, bringing up gratitude might not come from the heart. But if gratitude is chosen, despite the feelings, then it will plant the seed. So then that's there now for real. It might not have come about naturally. You might have to bring up the memory. You might have to, I'm going to say it, lie. The feeling isn't accurate. You're not telling the truth about your feelings. But your feelings themselves are often lying. Because feelings that are born in negativity, in bitterness, in meanness, in dissatisfaction, is usually the opposite of what's really true. And so when you bring in gratitude, you're reminded of the good in this world. Where is the good in this world? Like, well, you got to go dig it out. And sometimes you got to get past the rubble of the lies that caused all the feelings that aren't even coming from what's really true.
Right.
But you've made up a lot of stories because your feelings continue to get hurt by the continuous negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ends up building this gap.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. Like, I mean, obviously gratefulness is a feeling, or it can be a feeling, but I think you could actually make a statement like, I don't feel grateful right now, but I am thankful for... And if you can say that, then there's some truth where gratefulness goes beyond our feelings in that moment. Because I just said I wasn't feeling grateful, but I am still grateful. And there is an element there where you can pull past your feelings and you can make that decision to be grateful in that moment. And fortunately, you can actually train your mind to see and experience gratefulness. It was funny, Tetris has been around for a long time, but it was really popular in the 90s, I think. I remember meeting somebody who played Tetris and was crazy at it, was like amazing at Tetris. And there was this kind of reality that they found that when people played Tetris for hours, they would leave the Tetris game, but they would continue to see blocks. They would see the squares from the Tetris game, maybe in the wall, like a brick wall, or they would see it in a skyline. Their minds would just pull blocks out of everything. And similar with gratefulness. So if you spend time choosing, like you said, that decision to be grateful, you will train your mind to begin to see gratefulness in your life, things to be grateful for that maybe you wouldn't typically see. Like, I don't typically see Tetris blocks in a brick wall. But if I train my mind to see it, it will begin to see it. And so you can even start to be grateful for things that are negative. So, for example, something might happen where you have a flat tire on your car and you're like, well, I'm grateful that this is the thing that I have to worry about right now. That this is the only thing happening is I've got a flat tire on my car. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm grateful in a moment when typically I would have been angry and disappointed and frustrated. And it's amazing how your brain can shift. And so that decision isn't just about that moment when you're like, oh, I'm deciding for this relationship to be grateful and it's helpful in that moment. Making that decision will change the rest of your days moving forward as you see gratefulness more and more automatically.
And perhaps catching that flat tire when you did prevented it from becoming an accident.
Right.
And you were able to catch it. You were able to see it. Look at you. You're looking at it. That means it could have just been so much worse.
It could have been worse. I remember I was on the highway and we were going, you know, whatever, 100 kilometers an hour. And we, I don't know, somehow vibrated right through the bolts on our tire. And our rotor came right down on the rim of our tire. And we kept on going on our tire without actually being attached to the tire at all, but we just kept rolling along and were able to stop on the side of the road. And even though that's a horrible thing to have happen and we had to get like this tow truck in the middle of nowhere and blah, 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 we were extremely grateful that we were still kind of somehow on our tire when we weren't attached to it. And those are those moments, right, where you can be grateful even in negative circumstances, and it becomes easier to see as you cultivate a life of gratefulness.
Yeah. Coming into agreement with kindness despite your emotions, talking about emotions lying to you, if the spirit is coming from bitterness, I had said, if the motivation is selfish or mean-spirited, that's where the seed is agreement. So being able to say yes to the moment of gratitude. It's just, I'm going to choose gratitude. Coming into agreement. The seed is agreement for that to get planted and then to be able to come up with the well the next time that you need it. You want to react from maybe a mean-spirited attitude, negative, but you are choosing, you're coming into agreement with gratitude.
Totally. It's amazing to be able to agree with it. I might even say the question like, well, how do I agree with it? How do I make that motion? Well, honestly, listening to us right now, whether it was by accident or maybe you're listening to it again, listening to people making that decision will make it easier for you to make that decision, to agree with it. You're doing something against your feelings, potentially against your desires in that moment. But by hearing other people doing it, having that modeling, having that kind of experience of seeing other people speak positively about it, it will help you, you know. And so we can help each other to make that decision. And the benefits are amazing. Like, if you're able to take that step and walk into choosing kindness and to choosing gratefulness, you will actually become less stressed. You will downregulate your feelings from stress. Your emotions will come more into alignment. You will be less anxious in that moment, and you'll actually become more plastic in your brain. You will be able to solve problems better. You'll be less rigid, and you will be able to learn. And so these are amazing, almost medical benefits of making that decision and surrounding yourself with people who can do that, who are talking about it, who are experiencing that, who are modeling that, will help you to step into it even more.
Mm-hmm. You talked about giving up your desires. I think if it's giving up a selfish desire, that's the price that you pay for kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's costing me not to hold on to my own will for this, my desire for this. The cost is the price that you pay for kindness.
Totally. I think you're right. I think that giving up selfishness in order to be able to step into kindness can feel difficult, but when you actually take a step back from it, is like nothing. Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you give up your selfishness in order to be able to step into something that gives life, that gives relationship satisfaction, that helps other people to feel connected and understood? In some ways, it's almost no cost, even though it can feel like it in the moment. It could feel like, oh, I want to be right, or I want it my way. And to give that up can feel difficult. But in the end, after you've done it, I don't know if you've ever regretted it in your life where it's like, oh, I wish I had pushed for being right in that moment. It's been extremely rare for me where I've regretted being selfless. But in the moment, it can feel so challenging. But in the end, it's nothing.
Yeah, because you're saying no to enacting the hurt and the bitterness and the anger. So you have to, on purpose, then choose a light-hearted attitude in that moment. And choosing kindness takes willingness and discipline, both of which might not be related to how you're feeling.
Yes, totally. I mean, honestly, I mean, one of the ways of defining maturity is to act in a way that goes against your feelings. I mean, these are things that we learn over time, and you might be like, how do you do that? It can be extremely difficult to have a feeling and then move against it. I don't want to minimize that at all. Some people have equated it to trying to ride an elephant, where it's like your elephant is moving in a certain direction. You have this little kind of head on top of it trying to change the direction. It's like, well, the elephant's going in this way. But that is kind of this definition of maturity, is like, I'm feeling a certain way, but I'm still going to decide to go in another direction. And supporting yourself as you do that, finding ways, realizing how challenging that is a helpful thing. Identifying that goal, I'm going to be more grateful, I'm going to be kinder, I'm going to make those decisions. Identifying that goal and then taking steps, making it more natural. These are life things, life trajectories that change, you know, all of your relationships and how you're experiencing life.
And don't be surprised if you feel more peace on a regular basis. When you're used to feeling upset, when you're used to feeling aggravated, when you're used to just being able to blah and rant and vent and feel upset and be upset and cause rifts and break relationships. Okay, that's going to end if you choose gratitude.
Yes. Yes, you have to be kind of open to that. It could feel like, oh, I want to be bitter. I mean, it's so interesting what we get attached to. We even get attached to things like anger and bitterness and feeling upset and feeling bad. I want to feel bad. It feels so weird to say that when you're feeling positive, but it's true. People want that. And so being willing to let that go and be like, I'm going to let go of bad feelings. Again, it feels so obvious, but sometimes we have to make that decision. Do you want to be healed? It's a real question. Do you want to feel better? Is a real question that we have to answer, because it means that we have to give up things that we've been holding on to. And that could be part of it. And for some, stronger than others. But there is a decision there.
And a lot of things are just not worth the fight.
Mm.
And the things that we make the fight end up being all the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, oh, one little thing after the other built up and built up and built up. And now it's all about everything. So then one little thing happens and you get tripped up by it. And all of a sudden the whole thing is ruined. And it's like, no, actually it was just you continued to agree with the discontent. The sorrow, And actually the selfishness ended up winning,
mm-hmm.
if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, bam.
Yes, it will have that effect after that, right? If you choose those things, you will eventually have that kind of negative outcome from holding on to these small things. It's very rare that we actually have something that's quite large to hold on to. Normally, it's an accumulation of small things. They feel trite and embarrassing sometimes to tell other people about. It's real. The feelings are real and strong. And I'm often telling people, no, these are real feelings that you're having, even over these small things. But they're still small things. They're still tiny often, and they're worth doing something about. But being bitter and angry often isn't worth it. Not over that small stuff.
Yeah, and being dismissive is not my intention here either. Like, when it comes to the reality of the hurt and the feelings and being able to sit with those, but oftentimes it is also a choice to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the reality of a feeling getting hurt, of course, people are stupid. They're going to hurt you. Your favorite people, the people who usually are great, you know, they're still going to do things. And so, okay, there's the reality. That's a real feeling you're experiencing. Somebody really did mess up. And yeah, actually, they were selfish. And so you got some of that in the course of life, and now you still have a choice. You can allow yourself to know that it was hurt, sit with the hurt, soothe the hurt, comfort and give grace to the fact that that was all real, and then still choose forgiveness, love, and gratitude for the person as the overall part of the relationship.
I mean, the hope generally would be that as you make room for the pain, and as you empathize and validate that these are real feelings, that the person really did do something and all of that reality is there, the hope is that the feelings would become less powerful and that you would be freed up to make a decision. Obviously, the decision is yours on however you move forward, and boundaries are amazing. And in the midst of whatever you decide, to be able to be kind, grateful, respectful, all these things are powerful medicine for your own health and the health of everybody around you in the end. And it can almost be selfish to be grateful and kind if you think about it long enough. It's a better kind of selfishness in order to improve your own ability to think, ability to process, ability to manage feelings.
Preserve your energy. Preserving your energy to choose kindness and calling it selfishness because you're actually wanting to do this for your health and for the relationship also is huge. Like, even in that moment when you may be in a confrontation and you have gratitude as your core for the person, that you're not letting the event become the explosive end-all be-all, then you can go through it with gentleness in even the confrontation itself.
Oftentimes, one of the secrets, I think, of actually coming to, you know, a place of peace or gratefulness is to make room for your experience. So if you kind of claim a false peace, if you kind of are like, I am okay, you know, and you're not, we're talking about making decisions here. But oftentimes riding the wave of like, okay, I'm not feeling good. I'm accepting that I'm not feeling good. I'm dysregulated. And I'm going to make room for that. I'm going to find a space that's safe for me to be upset. I'm going to find somebody to talk to that's empathetic and validating. I'm going to do all of these things until I'm regulated again, and then I can decide, rather than, you know, being in a false place where it's not real. So I think that can also be like having a healthy respect for your own kind of chemical nature can be very helpful for you in your relationships. And so sometimes there is a timing component to all of this, right? To make space for the frustration and the emotion, and to also then make space later to kind of come back and be in a forgiving place, to be in a place that's grateful and can talk about it and actually announce it. I mean, sometimes we come back into it quietly where we don't say it, which is wonderful, but it would be even better if you could say it. And that's another step to kind of work on. All of the steps are helpful, you know, disruption, and then a place of regulating again, and then a place of coming back and having kindness in your heart, and then a place where you can actually speak the kindness and gratefulness. All of those steps can have their own challenges, but are very important.
And glad we came back to not denying the reality of your feelings in it, even though I said sometimes your feelings can be lying.
Totally, they can totally lie.
You don't need to be in agreement with them. Not that they didn't happen, not that you're not feeling them and you still might need some processing work, but to be able to choose gratitude in the moment and act in gratitude.
Yes.
Like put on an action now that says, okay, I'm going to say actually the opposite of what I'm feeling in this moment, but that doesn't mean that it's not a real feeling.
Totally. It's a real feeling, even if it's lying. And it's powerful, even if it's false. And so to make room for that, and then not act on it, because, you know, it's like, I know this might be a lie, might be true, but it might be a lie, you know? And to be like, okay, so I'm not going to act on it, but I'm going to respect the fact that it's extremely powerful and might be hard to think right now. And I'm going to make room for me to kind of come down from it, and then I will be able to make a better decision, hopefully deciding then to be grateful and kind. Yeah, it's kind of this interesting wisdom to move through all of these things, to know that there is space for a decision and also space for the power of our feelings at times.
Yeah. And then the other person is going through the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if it's often to do with conflict or needing to shift from potential to bitterness into gratitude, then to know that that other person is having their experience, and we might not be getting it all right the way we're perceiving it to come up with our response. So that's a judgment thing that we need to drop sometimes. It's like, okay, I might not be all understanding, all knowledgeable here on exactly what's going on inside of them for them to have acted that way and that. And if I can choose gratitude and choose grace for them and their experience, the same that I would hope for myself.
Totally.
I'm treated that way.
Yeah, and that's what also comes down to, right? Is like, oh, this is what we would like in our lives coming back towards us. And so to try to give that to other people is huge.
Well, thank you, Cyrus.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, that was an honor to get to spend that time with you. Appreciate you tuning in. Please check out more of Dr. Cyrus at maplecrestchurch.ca and at drcyrusdirksen.com. Thanks again, and tune in next time for Bridging the Gap. I'm Marianne Rose.
My crooked little Christmas, but it's never